Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/modern. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Everybody, and welcome to episode 16 of the Star Wars Book Club podcast, your podcast for all things Star Wars books, comics, and whatnot. I am your host, Blake Schultz. With me, as always, is Harley Salbaca.
Hey, guys.
And Tyler Berry.
Santee!
He's so cool.
I thought of you the whole time I was reading this issue. I was just like, oh my god, Tyler's flipping his shit right now because it's all Santee.
I loved it. I loved everything about it.
It's about time he got his due.
Right? I'm sorry. I want him to show up in the movies.
Me too.
That would be awesome. Wookiees live for like 400 years. So like, even if he was like 300 at this point, he could still show up.
Right? I also just love that he actually had a history with, like, everybody. Like, even Han was like, that's Black Krasantan, and you don't want him anywhere around when you can't see him. And I was like, oh, I love that he's got a history with all these guys.
Dude, also, can I just say, he had fucking brass knuckles, basically. That was crazy. Yeah.
He was, like, the Bane to Chewbacca's Batman. Like, he just annihilated everybody.
Okay, so, Tyler, what was your favorite Santee moment? Because I know that you have one. In this issue.
Oh, gosh. I wasn't prepared for that question. I think every moment that he was in it was just awesome. Like, this whole issue was just amplified. Like, it was already good, but, man, the fight with him and Chewie was epic in this issue. Like, it was so good.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
he just... I'm looking at the panel now, and he just, like, bear hugs him under the shoulder blades.
Because he's even got a few inches on Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
He's a giant. I love it. I want more, so many more Wookiees. Like, it really makes you almost remiss that, like, Endor was originally supposed to be, like, a Wookiee planet.
Yeah, it was
like,
supposed to be Kashyyyk.
That would have been such a better fight than the teddy bears that we got.
I mean, I still love Ewoks because as a kid, obviously, I love the Ewoks.
Oh, Rebellion would be lost without Ewoks.
But... And they're, like, super cute little badasses, but yeah, no.
Well, and they can't be trusted. I mean, who just has log traps lying around in wait?
Well, when you're that tiny, you have to.
They're a hunting class. I'm just saying, they're dangerous. People don't give them enough credit, but they literally messed up the Rebellion and the Empire
day. I want so much more time on Kashyyyk in everything. Like, I want to see Kashyyyk more in the movies, because we got to see it for a little bit in the prequels, but...
I've always wanted, because in Revenge of the Sith, when Yoda's like, to Kashyyyk I will go. Good relationships with the Wookiees I have. I just want, like... Not even a miniseries. I want an ongoing saga of why Yoda has good relationships with Wookiees.
Yes.
Like, I just want all of that. And then we can have the origin of Santee, and he'll whip Yoda across the planet.
That would be nice.
That would be great.
That would be awesome.
Oh my god, I want an origin for Santee.
Oh, I'm sure. I feel like, you know, Star Wars, it came out, was the highest selling comic book this year, almost breaking a million issues.
Yep.
I feel like the popularity of it alone... And just the fact that if they do what they did the old expanded universe, which was like everyone got something, I can't see us not getting a little bit of something with Santee. I can't see why you wouldn't. He's such a good character.
Yeah.
Taking the world by storm.
Also, can I just say, guys, when I wear my Chewbacca onesie, I look Kashyyyk.
Oh, God. See, I'm not the only one who makes horrible puns.
See, I had to throw one in.
Well...
But
that
let's
hurt.
Be
that
fair.
Hurt me to my core.
Let's be fair. Blake makes way worse ones than that.
Yeah, but I commit to them harder.
I'm not sure
what that has to do with anything.
It's everything to do with everything.
To not commit to it.
Also, so anyway, so what did we think of the issue on a whole? The Santee aside, although that did make it amazing.
No, it was great. I mean, event books frequently the ending always kind of just anything disappoints me, even in the middle. So I've been so happy with this as an event book, because it's one of the best event books. It's probably the best event book I've ever read.
Right.
Yeah. Like, while it was coming out, you know?
It was definitely one of the most cohesive ones. Because yeah. Because there wasn't, like, 4 million issues that all became, what is Lando doing during Vader Down? And where's Boba Fett at? Like, yeah, there weren't really any of those moments. But I did really also like this issue. You got a little bit deeper into kind of what Luke's doing. And I loved the landing of Carbon. Mm-hmm. It bummed me out that this was like the penultimate one, because it's when you really started to see more story, where a lot of other issues in it, while good, were a lot of like, let's see what happens when Han and Afra meet up, which is great and exciting, but yeah. There wasn't a lot of like building on like the lore or the mythology or the story or like why we're here or why this planet is relevant. So when Carbon landed and really revealed the like, I'm going to kill you and the rebels in one fell swoop and be like the Emperor's guy, I was like, oh, I want more of this. I want more of this, and I want more of Luke getting to the temple and figuring it out.
I liked R2-D2 saving the day again.
He always does.
Because he's the best.
And 3PO saved the day too. He took the Santee fist and shocked him out. Mm-hmm. Which, after losing... Did he get his arm? He didn't get his arms back yet, did
nope.
he?
Nope.
No. I was thinking about that.
But I love the stuff with, like, I think we talked about before with C-3PO and Chewbacca, because we always wonder why Chewbacca goes in and, like, I mean, he's not a nice Wookiee, but, like, he goes and gets C-3PO and puts them all back together. And this just is, like, this is why. It's because he's like, we were already great friends. We already went through so much shit together, and he helped save me.
I do really appreciate that they're taking the time. And I don't know if it's intentional or not, if the writer was like, ooh, I can build on Chewie and C-3PO's relationship.
I'm just going to assume it's all intentional.
I was going to say, there's no way it's not intentional.
Because this is all canon, so.
That's right. But, you know, sometimes they just have happy accidents, and you're like, oh my god, it works so well. But maybe, I'm sure that they are really, really getting into it.
Yeah.
But it's also, I mean, it just goes under the same thing of Chewbacca always being, like, the most, like, frankly, the most loyal person. Like, he was always the one that was like, we have to save Leia. We have to save Luke. We have to save 3PO. We have to get everybody. And making Han be like, ugh. Fine, we'll help with the Death Star.
That's why I love Chewie.
Yes, I know. But, yeah, this one had a lot of really good moments, but it was also, like, it was the push to the end. But I loved the fight with Carbon and Vader.
Dude, with the arms, all the arms and all the lightsabers?
He's Grievous. He's just another General Grievous.
Yeah, but, like,
It
was so great when he was, like, he literally was just like, it's like you push a button and he just like starts spinning the lightsabers, all different colors. Like, also, did he build all of these lightsabers? Like, how did he get so many lightsabers?
I imagine that all of these like trainee people that the Emperor was hiding and hosting were given lightsabers that were either found or from like Jedis that they killed post 66.
So we do think that the purple one is...
I don't know if it's Windu's, because that thing fell real, real far. But the hilt, I think, is different, because his has gold stuff on it.
Oh, yeah.
I only know that because I bought Mace Windu's lightsaber when I was a child.
So you mean last year?
I didn't say man-child. But, yeah, it was really interesting, too, to kind of see that pop out, and especially, like, his feet kind of match with how Grievous's look, and I wasn't sure... I mean, with Star Wars, it's the same thing that we're doing with the movie now, when everyone's being like, who's Rey? What's her parentage? What's Finn's parentage? You can always kind of guess forever if these things are, like, deeply connected to lore or something new. But this one felt so specifically the way Grievous was. And the fact that he's also a general, it's either, like, an homage.
I was just assuming that, we were talking about this off mic. I was saying that maybe it's just, like, with, like, you know, C-3PO, like... C-3PO and all the other droids of his specific make look the same. Maybe when you lose your body, they just are like, oh, you lose your body and you're a general? This is the best version of that kind of body that we can give you.
Oh, that's an interesting point. Like, there's sort of, like, tiers for these, robot bodies that you get.
Yeah, because interesting. If you're poor and you lose most of your body, they're not going to give you the best possible one because you're not important to them.
Right.
If you're a general, they're like, well, we still need you and we need you to be able to fight and do this, so you get... this kick-ass, you know, multi-armed, claw-footed body.
This spider lightsaber-wielding death machine. So. And as always, it seems like more lightsabers do not matter.
No.
Although it led to another one of my favorite lines when he's like, four against one, Vader, admit you're outmatched. And he just rips one of his arms out and is like, when you have the dark side, one lightsaber is plenty. A part of me was like, no, just have no lightsabers. Be like, my weapon is the Force. I'd rip all of them off.
Yeah, why did he only rip one off?
Yeah, it really seemed like he was playing with him. Like, he kind of just tossed him around, and then, was it in this issue when he just annihilates him, or is that...
No, that's the next issue, because that's when Aphra crashes the ship down.
Yeah. But I'll save that for our next section. But it was cool. It's also interesting to see people who aren't good guys not having red lightsabers. Like, that was the other thing that I was like, I imagine if they had made their own, that they would have made the dark ones, because they are, like, vetting for the Emperor, and that kind of seems to be their thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I imagine they're either from, like, another museum, or relics that the Emperor has, or they hunted down all the Jedi who survived after Order 66, like Kanan, and...
I'm guessing that's probably what it is.
Right?
These are all the lightsabers of dead Jedis.
Of the... Yeah. Which, man, now I want a carbon mini... I would like to go into that origin, too. Like, that whole thing, like, they kind of touched on it and then left it, I guess, to get into, like, this miniseries and focus on the Luke story. But they had that really interesting bit when the guy was like, we aren't the Sith. We're the next evolution of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really was like, ooh, I wonder if they'll get back to that anytime soon, or if we're just tracking down Skywalker.
At some point, they'll always get back to it. I mean, we have years of this to come.
Right. Well, you were going to say something, Talia? Sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was like, and I've always been curious about, like, everyone's, like, a New Hope fate. And I think, I don't know if I've said on this show or not before, but, like, I'm down for, like, Rebels and anything else in between being, like, Kanan survived or Ahsoka survived and all these people survived. It's an interesting thing to play with and it makes sense. But there's something about a New Hope where I'm like, by the time we actually get to, like, that escape pod crashing on Tatooine, I want it to just be Obi-Wan, Yoda, and Luke.
Hmm.
I don't know, like, I don't really like, somebody was like, oh, I bet there's even more Jedi running around that, like, are at other temples. And I was like, no, I think it makes the original trilogy stronger, and even The Force Awakens stronger if they've won. Like, a big part of the original trilogy was hope is gone. Like, it's this little band of rebels. The Jedi are extinct. There's no more remnants of any of it. And it also kind of just makes Kanan and everybody else like, what are you doing? Where'd you go? You're not all sitting on Dagobah waiting for, I don't know, nothing to happen.
Hey, he predicts the future. He probably knew it was going
to
happen.
That's true. But it's hard to see the future. It's always in motion.
Okay, Yoda.
That's what he says. He was a really good Jedi. Probably like third best.
Well, we'll have to see what happens. After episode 9, we'll talk.
Right. We'll figure it out. It was overall a really good issue. Real action heavy. It would be nice for the issues, and I mean, the event is over now, and we'll finish that up in the next section, but it would be kind of cool to get a little bit deeper, but it's like you said, I feel like with event comics, it's kind of par for the course for it to just become the fun set pieces of watching all of these characters interact, and the depth usually comes from the aftermath. So yeah, I mean, the only other interesting thing to touch on in this one, I think, would be kind of Leia's stuff with Vader when she kind of just runs and comes back. And I love that frame when Thirpio's like, oh God, I hope you're not dead.
Yeah.
Everything's going very poorly. And they flipped his head around for some reason.
I do like her stuff with Vader, though, because it's fascinating to me because he's on this huge journey trying to find his son because he didn't know he had a son. And he's standing there talking to his daughter.
Oh, yeah.
And neither of them have a clue. And I always, the whole time I was reading that part, I was like, what would he do if he knew?
I imagine that if he knew Leia was in that moment, like we saw the moment when he figures out it's Luke and he just has all those flashes of the Emperor.
Mm-hmm.
I think at that point he would pretty much make his choice. His focus wouldn't be finding them. It would be killing Palpatine and doing his own thing. Because it's not like, he only went back to the light side because he basically had, like, Luke convinced him there was still good in him. But, I mean, he never turned to the dark side for power. It was for a specific purpose. Like, he was, even in Revenge of the Sith, he says to Padme, like, I can kill Palpatine. I'm better than he is. Like, that's been his
His and then thing. Me and you can rule the galaxy together. Right. And she's like, you're talking crazy.
And then she's like, I can't be with you. And then they yell at each other and he chokes her for a while. And then Obi-Wan and him fight. Spoiler alert. For the good prequel. I don't know. Is there anything else you guys wanted to touch on in this issue? Or
Santi.
Santi was the best. The standout of the entire Star Wars saga.
Best new character.
Probably, yeah. All right, well, with that, we'll take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll be wrapping up Vader Down, so stick with us. And welcome back to the Star Wars Book Club podcast. We're wrapping up the very first event from the Marvel Star Wars comics, Vader Down, which wrapped up this week in Darth Vader 15. Personally, I was a little disappointed in this issue. And really just the ending for the event in general. Like, as a standalone issue, I thought it was fine. They had a lot of really interesting moments. But it didn't really feel like it ended at all to me. So what do you guys think?
Man, I read it digitally, and I legitimately got to that last panel, and I thought, like, my app glitched out for a second or something, because I was like, oh, there's this probably, because it felt like, maybe I'm wrong, but it felt like the shortest issue of the six.
It did feel short.
Like,
yeah.
I think it was only, like, 17, maybe 18 pages, which is, like, on the shorter end, but I legitimately thought, like, my app glitched out. I was like, oh, there probably should be another page, and then I went back and looked at it. I was like, nope, that's the end. Yeah, it was disappointing because everything leading up to the end was so good. And then, I mean, I know it makes sense that it ended this way. I mean, it basically just ends with them flying off in the Falcon and Vader's just on the ground, just staring up at him.
Yeah.
Like, it makes sense that that's the way it ended, but it just seems kind of all for naught. Like,
yeah,
a little bit. I know that's really not, because, you know, we get a lot of awesome moments where we get, like, more, like, the newer characters more established, and, like,
right,
we see some great moments with Vader and, like, his, like, quote-unquote nemesis, even though he just toys with carbon the entire time. But overall, it's just, it's an event book, and that kind of boils it down. Like, it just, there's not so much that you can do with the right ending of it, because it's still an event book that's stuck between two already established movies.
So you can't change anything. All you can do is add to that universe.
And that was my next kind of, like, I think fault was exactly what you said, is it's usually these event books like Convergence, Secret Wars, they're setting up these huge set pieces. So even if the ending's a little anticlimactic, you could be like, ooh, well, what's going to go down, like, now? Like, one of my favorite parts, Avengers versus X-Men is my example, was, like, the ending for that blew. But,
yeah,
like, the miniseries when Cyclops is just in prison was fascinating. And I was like, that was worth it, because that was a better ending. But you don't get something like that from this, because, I mean, the next thing is Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
And I even felt, like, bigger picture of whether or not this thing really added to that, I don't think it did, but I also felt like, well, like, the Jedi Temple stuff kind of gets lost because you hit that point where it's like... The point where you break.
Sorry. Call back to our other podcast.
Oh, man. But, yeah, like, Obi-Wan is just like, you're not ready for this yet. And I was like, well, that's kind of a lame takeaway for this big thing that he's been doing, like, for it to just wrap up with Ghost Kenobi being like, nope. And especially for, like, all of the times we've seen Luke, even in Empire, them be like, you're not ready, and him be like, I don't care. Like, it seemed a little out of character for him to just be like, fair enough, and, like, trot along.
Well, to be fair, he doesn't really do that, though. I mean, they've got to get off that planet because that is of true. Vader. And even he says he's staring out like of the Millennium Falcon, and he's like, I'm never going to get to come back here. And really upset about it. So I don't think he was Kenobi, oh, you're right, buddy. Never mind. I just will stop everything that I'm doing.
You see the regret because he's there being like, there's something there and it's something that I needed to know.
Yeah. It's just really interesting to see. And it's actually like the thing that I know I was worried about the comics having a while, and it actually hasn't happened until this point. Of they got to these really interesting character moments of like Leia about to take the shot and changing her mind to go like save everybody, and like Luke getting to the temple, and even Vader getting to the temple and hearing all of the like Revenge of the Sith and Phantom Menace stuff. But there's not really payoff for it because they can't really, you know, they can't tinker too much.
And also because we still, like, these are both parts of ongoing series. So there's still more of these ongoings. They're still going to keep going. So, like, even with this kind of event book, lots of the time when you have event books with DC and Marvel, it's because they're trying to kill off specific characters, trying to reset the universe, or, like, revamp the brand. This wasn't doing any of those things. This is just, like, wanting to tell you a story across both of these comic book series with all of the characters. So it's a very different event book if you're used to reading event books and comics.
Yeah. It really played off like a like an action movie where you're, like, you get a lot of really interesting character bits, and then the action happens and the movie ends, which is fine, but it's, like, sometimes you want the, I don't know, like, emotional arc to kind of carry over, and I felt like nobody really got that in this. Like, the most interesting thing that really happens is that they have Aphra on the Falcon. Which means I don't even know where BT and 000 are.
Your favorites, yeah.
Presumably, they're just still on the planet, right?
I guess. They'll probably just be with Vader.
But can I just say?
Oh, that could be funny.
I love the part with Leia and Aphra where Leia just punches her in the face and knocks her to the ground. Oh my god, Leia is a badass.
I did appreciate that they get back and they're like, wow, the Falcon's fixed. And then she's like, yeah, I fixed it because I'm stealing it from you and killing all of you. And then Leia just... And doesn't Luke get a swing in too? Didn't Luke punch somebody, or am I wrong?
I don't think so. Something really badass right before she punches her though. What did she say?
I definitely thought for some reason there was a moment where like Luke takes a swing at somebody. But I could just be mistaken.
Oh, yeah. Because she's talking, because Aphra's talking to, like, Han and Luke and everybody. And she's like, the things I could tell you. And then you hear Leia go, really? And then punch her in the face.
Yeah.
She knows things. Get her aboard. Bam!
So great.
Oh,
I also did really enjoy, the stuff with Carbon. I thought was great. Of him just all of a sudden being like, this is so much more than what you're doing. And he's just like, you'll never know. And then just ices him.
Oh, but I like how it tied back to The Force Awakens, the stuff with Luke and the Jedi Temple. Right. I feel like that really is going to tie in a lot to what he's been doing when we watch episode 8.
Right. Well, I think that's kind of what they're doing a lot of now, is trying to kind of feed into the new stuff to be like, here's where we're going a little bit.
Because they talk about the Jedi Temple in where they think Luke is, and that's where he went in Force Awakens.
I'm pretty sure, because a lot of people have been like, well, why would Luke leave a map of like breadcrumbs? And I was like, he didn't leave a map to where he was. They found a map of all the Jedi temples. It was what I assumed that map was.
That's what I thought it was too.
And that they were basically like, the reason BB-8's piece is important is they were like, we don't know where, you know, a handful of them are until we get that bit. And I guess they didn't even have R2's part until he powered on.
Yeah.
Which, did you guys see the thing that they were originally going to have it be that R2 had the map from when he plugged into the Death Star in A New Hope? That he had, like, downloaded all of the data from it?
Oh,
and
because...
And that's why he was in low power mode, was he was, like, scanning his own
data
to find it. Interesting.
And also because... That makes a lot of sense, because Kylo Ren says to Rey, we have the map because we downloaded it from... Remnants of the Empire. That actually makes perfect sense.
Right. There's a lot of little things, and I love The Force Awakens, but there's a lot of little things that like they're mentioning here and there or that are in the like novelization of it that I'm like, oh, that would have made that movie just just a little bit better.
Have you read the novelization?
No, my roommate's listening to it on audiobook, and I've just kind of glanced.
It just came out.
Yeah, like this. I've glanced at some of the like articles of like things that weren't mentioned in it, and there's a lot of interesting things. Like there's a whole bit of Snoke, like when he's training Ren, he basically is like, "We need to rebuild the Empire because it was the only time we had order, and order comes through fear. So we need to rule with fear again. The democracy doesn't work." And what killed the Empire? And Kylo Ren says to him, sentiment. And he's like, exactly. It wasn't them blowing up the Death Star. It wasn't this. It was Darth Vader choosing his son. So you can't make that mistake. And that's why when he's like, Han Solo has the map, this is your biggest test. Is the test is, are you going to do the same thing Vader did and have sentiment for your family?
Which is actually makes it even more interesting when you see Kylo like talking to his grandfather's helmet slash skull like there, because he's there saying, I'm going to finish what you started. That almost makes it seem even more what we've all been thinking, that A, he's a more complex character, but also that finish what you started isn't bringing back the Empire in order. It's it is sentiment and family and ruling the galaxy and having balance with your family.
Mm-hmm. And they also get into a lot of Finn stuff, which apparently is that like he was part of like one of the, like he was one of the best stormtroopers, like his whole unit was, and they all gave each other nicknames except for him. And that's why when Poe is like, I'm going to call you Finn, like he gets really attached to Poe because he's this stranger is giving him the thing that like his brothers wouldn't. And that's the other reason that that guy like throws down the armor and yells traitor is because he was in his division. So he's like, so it's personal.
Well, so what do you, have you guys heard the things about the rumors that Poe Dameron is going to be the first gay canon Star Wars character?
I've seen a little bit of it.
And that's one of the reasons that him and Finn, like, not that Finn gets connected, but he gets connected to Finn so fast is because he like kind of is like, hey, sup. You look good in my jacket.
I would be very down with that, but I feel like the internet jumps on to these like shipping things so quickly now and just kind of like makes it from nothing, that sometimes that like when they say things like that, I'm like, well, are we going to do that? Or is it just the internet being like, it would be so fun. Look how cute and romantic they are. Yay. Not that I would mind having
the world of Tumblr.
Right.
Well, there was someone else where it was something that like Oscar Isaac said in an interview that like hinted at it, apparently.
Interesting.
And I forget what it was, but I was like,
that would be really cool to have like a big Star Wars movie where like everybody, like you're pretty much represented all across the board at that point. That would be really big and important and cool.
And as long as they don't do it like, hey, look, he's gay. And they just kind of make it like it's a normal thing that humans do.
And
like,
they point
love
at
each
it.
Other.
Well, I mean, I think that would be the best way to do it, right? But to just not even ever be like, bring it up. Like, unless you're going to do a love story with him and somebody else.
Yeah.
You don't even mention it. And then, at one point, it's just kind of like there.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to do a love story.
It seems like it'll be Rey and Finn if they do. Because she had that beat where she's like, we'll see each other again. And he was obviously super into her.
Yeah.
Well, which would actually be really cool.
Who wasn't into Rey?
The toy manufacturing companies.
So Vader down.
Yeah. I guess my big question then for you guys with it, now that it's wrapped up, since I know Tyler and I are on the same boat, I'll ask him first. What were you wanting from it, like for the ending? Like, was there anything you really wanted to see, or just like something more than you got?
Nothing specific. I don't know, man. I just felt like the end was so abrupt and so, I mean, it just felt like they needed an ending and that was the ending that they picked.
Right.
If that makes sense. Like, it's just like, it wasn't, I don't know.
It's very safe.
Yeah.
It was a very safe ending.
I guess that's the right way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just a really safe way to end the event series.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of another way to really end it, except for in a slightly different way.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the thing too, is like, you know, it was set up as like, the pitch was Vader's all by himself fighting everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you never really got a sense that he fought everybody. Which I think was one of the things that I was kind of bummed about, was he goes toe-to-toe with Leia, he slaughters all of the rebels that she brings, but, like, him and Luke never meet, which I get because they want to save it for Empire. But like Chewie, Han, nobody. And if you're building things for Empire, it would have been interesting to see Han and Vader kind of have a moment, because they have a big moment in Empire when Han just pulls his blaster out and Vader just blocks it.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been interesting to have them... I think that's actually the first time they come eye to eye. Like, the only other time Han hits him is in the Death Star, and that's after he goes and flies out into space.
Yeah.
So that was one of my things. And I'm always, like... I'm super into all the mythology and lore with the Jedi and, like, the religion and philosophy aspects. And when they were like, we're going to a temple, I was like, ooh! And then all we really got of that was exactly what Vader says when he's like, there's nothing here but ghosts. And, like, even if, like, Luke didn't get what he was looking for, I thought it would have been interesting for Vader to find...
Something
that even, like, would have pointed to, like, Luke's parentage.
Yeah.
Because I assume that when Obi-Wan is like, not yet, he means you're not ready to know who Vader is. And so I
so
was...
you mean you wanted Luke to find something related to his parentage? Because Vader knows. Yeah. Well, Vader knows.
Vader knows, but I think if Luke leaves, having that threat... Because Luke can't find it, because otherwise you defuse the big twist.
Right.
But if they had Luke leave, and then, like, the last panel was Vader going into that...
Oh, I see what you're
saying. Finding what he could have found.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Got you. Okay.
And that even him confronting the... Because there's been so many moments, too, of Vader... sort of confronting his past, that it would have also been interesting for him to get into that temple. And even if it was like hearing Qui-Gon say something, or even going back to Obi-Wan being like, you're the chosen one, and him either like rejecting that or being like, fools. It would have been kind of cool to see him go back to that prophecy and either be like, I killed all of you, and like leave, or like any moment to pay off the fact that, like, a temple was here.
Yeah, I just really want to see the Jedi temples. I'm like, can I see all of them?
Well, yeah, we only ever see one in the canon.
Yeah.
So it would have been really cool to know. Because we explored all those Sith artifacts with Lando. Mm-hmm. We got to see that big Jedi collection and all those holocrons with not Jabba.
And Luke, yeah.
And Luke.
But I think that, I mean, I couldn't think of a better ending, but I kind of liked it because it didn't end as badly as most event books, which made me happy.
That's true. It wasn't just like what I'm assuming will devolve into Secret Wars, of it just being like, and there's a fight, and then Doom falls down, and now it's a new world. Yay! Yeah. Like, it's
a Secret Wars.
Or going back to Avengers versus X-Men, where it was just like, and the Phoenix stopped. And you're like, what? Oh yeah, no, it's fine. It just went away.
And now new stuff.
Right.
But yeah, and so I think that this is really cohesive with what they've been doing, and it's cohesive with all the films. And I like that it was like, I had the feeling when I read it of him just missing getting to see. They just missed getting to see each other.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I liked that. That's why I like the end. I'm like, as long as they like have that moment where you're like, oh crap, are they going to see each other and it's the just miss? Then I'm going to be happy. So I'm happy.
There you go.
So how much longer are we going to stick between A New Hope and Empire?
Is really what
I'm wondering.
Me too.
I'm really hoping not much longer.
I just don't know. I mean, if you take too much longer with this space in between those two movies, it's like you're just trying to cram way too much in.
Right.
But to be fair, all they have to do is just not even stop any of the series, just put a page in the back that says, for the next part of the story, please watch Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, no, and that's what I mean, but it's like, how much longer are we going to stick in the storyline before Empire starts? Because, yeah. I mean, what's that? 15 for Vader and 15 for Star Wars?
Yeah.
That's 30 issues of stuff. I mean, and only one of them is like a quote-unquote flashback with Obi-Wan.
Right.
So it's like 29 issues of stuff. It's starting to get to the point where it's like, okay. And none of it has been bad by any means, but it's like, how much longer are we going to cram more new stuff, more new stories into this space and time between A New Hope and Empire?
I imagine eventually they've got to get to, like, the only really big thing left to talk about that won't interfere with, like, Jedi business and like canon stuff is the like finding where the rebel base goes. Mm-hmm. So I imagine we'll get an arc about that and then we're good. Like I can't see that not being the next logical thing, especially considering that Vader just wiped out a ton of your soldiers. Yeah. Like it might be.
I mean, there's still a lot they could play with. I mean, for all we know, they could do like maybe like a one shot or like a miniseries that's straight up what Yoda's preparing, like on Dagobah for when Luke comes or after.
Like we still haven't like seen the theory that Yoda's just been tripping balls on Dagobah, eating shrooms, and that's why when Luke lands, he's like, "Oh!" And then he comes down from it and he's like, "Oh my god, how much time have I lost? Oh god, the Skywalker! Oh my god, he's so tall! I can't train this kid. He's so old. Obi-Wan, you're supposed to bring him to me when he was like 4. Why did you let me sit here and smoke all these wonderful drugs
that I found on Dagobah?" But Shamir, I don't know if they're going to do anything that actually is during Empire. That's something too. They could do a few one-shots that are during Empire. Right. Plus, we still are supposed to get more of the Obi-Wan like journal stuff.
I really want
more of that. Yeah,
because it was in my solicitations recently.
Yeah,
so like we should be getting more of that, and then that's going to take up a few issues too. Hopefully,
yeah,
right. But that's not codependent on this timeline, so you can put that anywhere.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm with Tyler. I want them to. I would like to get. Plus, in between Empire and Jedi, there's so many juicy things.
Yes, what there's so doing. Much. Like,
You've got Lando in the mix.
And there's supposed to be more time between Empire and Jedi.
I think I might be wrong, but I think it's like a year or so in between A New Hope and Empire, but there's like 5 in between Empire and Jedi. Like it takes them a while to do that plan to go get Han.
And plus they could be planting a bunch of seeds in between Empire and Jedi that have to do with Force Awakens.
It makes a lot more sense to plant seeds for the new trilogy once Luke is trained more.
Yeah.
Instead of doing it when he doesn't know anything. It makes a lot more sense to start playing with that after he's seen Yoda. And I'm also curious because I got into a debate with my boss at work this week where I was like, it's the same thing I texted both of you guys where I was like, everybody upset about Rey and Finn's lightsaber battle. But Luke whoops Vader, and he's never fought with a lightsaber before in Jedi.
Yeah.
Yoda wasn't training him with that, and he only saw Yoda, like, twice.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, no, I think you're supposed to assume that in between Empire and Jedi, he's been going to Dagobah, like, constantly. And I always thought that he was going back to Dagobah, and that was the, like, from when he left for Cloud City until after he got Han.
Yeah.
I assumed that he was going back, and that's why he was like, I'm back. And Yoda's like, too bad. Because otherwise, why would he wait until Jedi to be like, is Vader my father?
Yeah.
Which I didn't think about that line until now. So hopefully he listens to this podcast and then admits that I was correct.
I'm sure that's...
It's on you, Aaron. I'm waiting. All right. Is there anything else you guys want to mention with Vader down or anything else?
Just love watching Leia punch someone in the face.
I know. Hopefully we'll get another Leia miniseries soon at some point in our lives.
Where's my Santee miniseries?
Oh, I'm sure you'll get a Santee miniseries.
I want that too.
And where's my Black Series figure?
Right? I'm sure if they do a Boba Fett miniseries, which
plushie.
I'm sure they
and
will.
And a plushie, yeah.
And a plushie. And really just all of it.
Yeah.
I want a plushie.
Tyler's going to buy a dog soon and be like, this is Santee.
That's what I would name my dog if I got
you,
a dog and he's
are you
black.
Are you going to put a sticker scar on your dog's face? You know you have those sticker scars? Have you seen those? Like for Halloween?
Dogs?
No, it's like for Halloween. No.
It's like, what?
It's like for
that
Halloween.
Borderline cruel.
Yeah.
For Halloween, they have like those stickers that you can stick on that look like a scar. Like that are actually pretty legit looking. Are you going to like get your dog and like stick a sticker on his face?
I don't think those are meant for animals.
I'm just saying, if he's Santee.
Oh, right. He could be pre-Santee
scar. You could put little spikes on his shoulders.
That would be awesome.
Oh, that'd be so cute.
Guys, let's go adopt a dog.
All right. Okay, let's go.
All right, well, that'll do it for the Star Wars Book Club podcast this week. As always, like us on iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. They're real nice, they're real helpful, and we will love you forever for it.
Yep.
You can follow us on Facebook at the Star Wars Book Club podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at SW Book Club, which also on Twitter, big shout out to all the people at Potter and Family. It's a nice little community of podcasters. They're real nice.
You guys rock, yeah.
Those guys are super cool.
And a lot of those shows are great. I was listening to a few on my trip to San Diego this weekend, and they're all wonderful. So do that. I was listening to the Drunken Dork podcast and the Comical podcast on my way, so they get a big shout out too. They're great. You can find us on our new Tumblr at Star Wars Book Club Podcast. and then on Instagram at Modern Nostalgia Productions, which will then lead you into our other two podcasts, Modern Nostalgia Gaming with Tyler and I, and Hollywood Already Did It, our movie podcast with Tyler, I, and our friend Terrence. And that was bad grammar, but that's fine. You can follow me on Twitter personally at QuakePorter55. You can follow Harley at
Miss Harley R on everything, Twitter, Tumblr, all that stuff.
Friendster, MySpace.
Instagram.
And you can find Tyler at
The Tie Game.
All right. And we will see y'all next week.